So I think some of you know that the first year I lived in Rhode Island, I rented a little place out on Great Island in a tiny cluster of what is essentially summer shacks right next to a bird sanctuary. And in that first year, I had a really hard time putting down my ministry at night. I had a very hard time quieting my mind. I worried about the next sermon, a particularly wonderful or challenging committee meeting, and anything else I could think of. And it's fair to say I didn't sleep as much as I might have that first year. But honestly, I was kind of okay with that, because each morning when I woke, generally between 4 and 6 a.m., I would take my blanket, situate myself on the couch, and I'd wait for the sun to rise. And it did so gloriously. Pinks, reds, oranges, yellows, and even purples streaked the sky, painted it boldly as the sun rose visibly above the horizon. Each and every morning, I knew that I was in the presence of divinity, and that whatever small matters crowded my mind at night, they'd be released with the dawn of the new day. Starlight, sunrise, sunset, and all the times in between, it's a dramatic reenactment of what we might otherwise take for granted. I was reminded of this during my mom's time in my home. For those that didn't know, my mom was a smoker, and yes, I made her smoke outside. As it got colder, we got more layers for her, an Agora hat. She took my gloves, scarves, and good slippers, and we got her a good heavy coat. And she'd take her cigarettes and sometimes her coffee, and she'd situate herself on my porch for a good long while, much longer than I could have handled it, taking in the glory of the sky while she smoked. And I swear to you that this was the happiest part of her time here. And all she would really say to me is something like, "Wow, the wind, the sky, the stars, it's hard to take it all in." And I knew what she meant. She was pondering the end of her life, yes. But she was also pondering what we do at any stage, the magic of the cosmos, the light against the trees, the ordinary and yet extraordinary truth of the physical world, that it's always there. And part of me wants to end the sermon right here because I don't want to explain awe. I don't want to break it down into pieces or limit it to seasonal celebrations that mark the lessening of the light and the return of the sun. I want instead to create expansiveness, to have us find yet more times of glory and maybe less explanation in the magic of the world. And there's those rationally minded people, and I'm looking at you here, Dave Hurtis, that take their telescopes and they look at the sky, or maybe even with their own eyes, and they marvel at all that is known and unknown while still being a mystery. They look at the sky and they think about gravity and air and all else that creates this world. And then there's the rest of us, and I don't mean to lump us into one big pile, but we're looking for the sake of beauty and joy alone, perhaps, or maybe to be reminded of our simple speckness in the multitudes of the world. Or perhaps, as Bethany alluded to, that the world holds a certain predictability to it. We know the sun will rise and the sun will set. The moon will wax and wane. Stars will reveal themselves in the night sky. And every November, the trees right before sunset catch the light in a way that seems to almost glow. You see this, right? And I think to myself that that's all the proof one needs to have faith in the mysteries of the universe. And for me, the magic is that we don't understand it. We humans don't understand it. We can't break down the mysteries of the world into finite pieces, despite many efforts to do so. More remains unknown than known, and that's a good thing. Faith is that same promise. Take a leap, gaze awed at what we can't understand, and let those possibilities infuse us to the very core of our being. Easy to say, harder to do. I hear you enjoyed hearing from Reverend Quadgrass last Sunday. I'm really glad that's so. I was in East Greenwich preaching to the congregation she serves. I was ready for worship to begin, and the worship associate looked at me and quietly refused to do the reading that I had asked of her. "I don't use those words," she said. The word she objected to was God. And in a way, I was grateful, because I suspected she had inadvertently told me of the humanistic bent of that congregation. But you know that I am not that easily deterred. So before I began the reading that mentioned God, I looked at the congregation and I said, "In the next 20 minutes, you're going to hear the word God at least a dozen times. And if it's a word outside of your lexicon, I invite you to hear it in ways that mean something to you. Goddess, tree, spirit of life, mystery, the great unknown." And to their credit, as far as I know, that's exactly what they did. There is so much more than we understand or can make sense of in terms of faith, nature, reality, time, and so forth. And when we allow ourselves to simply be in a place of awe, to lean into the unknown with a curious and open mind, gifts abound. And I think what I'm learning is that we can live in awe a lot of the time. Mary and Trish spoke of this, of the kindness, awe at the kindness extended and received. Awed by the desire and commitment of so many to create a more just world. Awed by the genius of some and the tenacity of others. Awed by young children and incredible elders. The list goes on if we look for it. And all of this makes me wonder, what brings you to your knees in supplication, or rush to the window to see a deer skipping by? What makes you stop and say, "Wow, look at this world I live in"? As we enter this liminal season, when dark gives way to light, when cynicism makes room for hope, when need is replaced by generosity, can you give yourself the gift of awe, of being willing to be gobsmacked by the unexpected, shifted by the unknown, and thrilled by the possibility of what lays beyond our knowledge and understanding? My hope for you is that you are held and behold beauty beyond your comprehension or understanding, and maybe, just maybe, allow that beauty to infuse, hold, and guide you. May it be so.
Hello, my name is Kai, and I'm gonna lead you in a meditation. And when I'm done speaking, there's going to be a moment of music, so you can continue the beautiful thoughts that you're thinking and feeling. So I welcome you to take a deep breath and be in awe and come together in the spirit of mindfulness. Now, take a moment to imagine a sunny meadow. It is wintertime, and the meadow is carpeted with mounds of dead grasses and a bit of snow. In the middle of the meadow, you see a large, beautiful old tree. It can be any type of tree that you want. Take a good look at the tree. Get to know your tree. This tree is your special tree, and you can imagine it in any way you want. Notice its overall shape and color. Notice its branches. Notice any berries it may have. Notice any nuts or pods just hanging on. Gaze at your tree with its many branches and begin to walk towards it. Feel the sun shining its gentle warmth on you as you walk towards your tree. Breathe in the fresh, clean air around you. As you get closer, notice that the air is even fresher and purer. When you reach the tree, walk slowly around it. Look up into its brown branches and notice all the twigs waving in the gentle breeze. Put your hand out and feel the texture of the bark around the large old trunk. When you've walked almost all the way around your tree, imagine a rope and slat ladder hanging from one of the lower branches of your tree. Climb up the ladder and into the tree. Imagine that today, climbing into your tree is as easy as lowering yourself into a comfy chair. You have all the strength and agility you need to fully explore your tree. Wherever you want to go in your tree, a ladder appears so that you can easily explore that part. As you climb, you may encounter creatures that live in or visit the tree. If you see a bird, a spider, or another creature, greet it with a nod and thank it for sharing its tree with you. If you wish, climb to the very top of the tree. Take half a minute and continue to explore your tree. This is all the time you need. Now that you have explored your tree, find a comfortable place to rest. Maybe there's a spot near the main trunk where a branch comes out at the perfect angle to form a seat. Sit down here or any other comfy spot. Relax and think about the awe inspired by the tree.